Hi, I'm Gina Farrar, reinvention coach, creator and host of Feminine Roadmap podcast, and leader of this amazing global community of women. If you are approaching midlife or are already in the thick of it, welcome home. Please grab a cup of something wonderful and join me for some real talk, practical strategies, and a big dose of sisterhood. I am so glad you're here. Hello, Feminine Roadmappers. It is Gina here. Welcome back to Feminine Roadmap Podcast, where we help women and men navigate the challenges and changes of midlife. And on that midlife topic today, we are going to be talking about the back 40. My guests today believe that the second half of life has unlimited growth potential if you shake off what general society has to say about midlife and beyond. My guests are Daryl Gurney. He's the author of The Back 40, Seven Essential Embraces to Launch Life's Radical Second Half, and his partner in crime, Alexandra Levin of The Back 40. I want to thank you guys so much for being here today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you, Gina.
And thank you for being the generous spirit and the wonderful human being that you are. We've just so loved connecting with you.
Yes, it has been a lot of fun. Just for my listeners, we had an opportunity, Daryl, Alexandra, and I, to chat last week and to really get an idea about this conversation that I've been cultivating and that they are focusing on, which is that midlife vibrancy, the fact that there's so much more for us to do. So I thought immediately, this is someone that I want to share with you guys, because it's important to know that our value is actually increasing and not decreasing as we age. So with that increase, I would like Daryl and Alexandra to share what their mission and message is. So why don't you guys go ahead and let us know what it is that caused you to create the Back 40 and to promote this message of midlife vibrancy?
Well, I'll share because mine came first and hers came after. So I'll share my wake-up call. And so I was sitting in my meditation chair looking at my son sleeping in my bed because my parents were downstairs. They'd come in to help me in the face of a $500,000 custody suit. And this happened when I was 40. And in the middle of the night then, I just had this thought that, wow, I don't have much to show for myself. I'm wrapped up in this custody suit. I'm going through a career change. I have an enormous amount of debt because of the custody suit. And it was kind of one of the lowest points in my life. And it was at that point that an idea hit me. I can't say from where it came, but it, you know, didn't come out of my normal conscious mind. And it said, well, what if you're right where you're supposed to be? What if everything up to this moment has been perfect for you to become who you came here to be? And what if the first half of life is just R&D, research and development? And what if the biggest game is ahead? And honestly, Gina, at that moment, which was one of the lowest in my life, that was a bright light. It was a bright light to think of, because society tells us that, you know, in a lot of ways, you got to make it by the time you're at midlife, or you got to have a lot to show for yourself. Society tells us there's this bell curve that after 40, 50, or 60, you're on the downside, you know, with all of your best behind you. So for me at that moment, it was inspiring to think, okay, well, what if my biggest game is yet to come? What if everything, even all the whatever mistakes I think I've made or whatever, what if it was all perfect and it was just laboratories to have me discover who I'm really here to be? What if it's all in perfect order? Hmm. That was my wake-up call.
So I got introduced to the book and the ideas in the Back 40 by being part of the reading group for one of the first iterations of the manuscript. And at that time, I was dealing with my own challenges in tail end of a good marriage that turned bad and had very, very many challenges and wasn't working out. And looking at my friends and other people my age around, you know, late 40s, everybody dealing with almost feeling like they're coming to the tail end of their life or of their best years, of their best creativity and relationships and things like that. And I was kind of swimming in all of that and reading the book and doing the exercises, the transformational exercises in the book, provided me first with an insight into my own life where I could recreate myself, my life, leave the relationship incredibly amicably, staying as friends, and yet becoming really free for creating my own second half of life. And at the same time, seeing that with this message, if this message was available to others, instead of feeling down and almost like, okay, what are we going to do to complete our life? The future is bright ahead. Possibilities are infinite. There isn't anything stopping us for being our best and doing our best going forward, especially if we mine everything we have done before and learn from it and grow with it. So, and that's how we got together, and that's how I became the biggest supporter of the message.
Can I go into the detail of what you saw?
Sure.
So what Alexandra saw, which was awesome, and I'm just sharing it because she was talking about it overall, but some of the exercises have you really look at the experiences you've been through in life. One of the things that we say in the back 40, there's seven embraces that we offer to take on. The first of those embraces is your past, and actually coming to terms with your past, not in the sense of coming to terms of it where you're not a victim to it anymore. Because I think a lot of things, you know, even us as adults, no matter what our age, we can point to things in our past that we can say, because of that, I'm this way, or because that happened to me, I'm this way. And so there's a lot of exercises that have you embrace your past in a powerful way where you can almost like see that, oh, because that happened, I get to become this, right? And one of the things she saw was when she was leaving Russia, actually. Why don't you tell it, babe? You tell it better than me.
So I left Russia when I was 19. I immigrated. And I immigrated alone because for 13 years before then, our family was trying to leave. And my parents, we weren't allowed to leave. So we were in this constant cycle, applying, getting denial. Communist Russia wasn't just letting people out. So at some point when I was 19, I was allowed to leave, but my parents were not. And so the family made a decision that if I have a chance to get out, then I'm going to get out. And we were told by the government officials, they were saying, well, you're letting your only child go. You may never see her again. And here I am, 19. I've never been away from my parents. I was cuddled little girl. And so I'm on that plane, leaving Russia alone. Everybody around me has families. I'm petrified. I'm on the way to freedom, that the idea of which I grew up since I was six. I grew up with the idea that one day, and our purpose for all these years is to get out from Russia into freedom of the United States. So here I am on that plane on my way to freedom, and I'm petrified. And what I saw, fast forward, when I was doing the exercises in the book, is I was stuck in that marriage, even though we've talked about divorce for several years until then, because the 19-year-old in me, even when I was 40-something, was petrified of freedom. And in doing the exercises, that link got broken. And freedom was no longer petrifying. And I was no longer afraid of freedom. So that allowed me to have the conversations with my then husband, to part amicably, to stay friends, and to, go and create what's there for us to create in our life.
Mm. Now I benefited. Well, she was part of an initial reading group as a friend, but once she went through that change in her marriage, she became available and we kind of got on this bandwagon mission together.
That's a fun story. You know, it's interesting. As you're talking, I'm hearing you talk about how who we were is building who we are and who we're becoming. And that's such an important shift to go from the trauma mindset. I mean, even if there was trauma for a lot of us, and trauma doesn't have to be big things. It can just be where we were as a child and how it hit us, right?
Yeah.
But all of the things we have experienced have something to offer to who we are. And in that little shift, we become that better version, right? It's when we make the shift that it then becomes a tool in our belt.
Yeah. And the thing is how you're going to hold it. And so many, you know, of us, me included, you know, would hold some of these things. And it doesn't matter how much personal development you've done. I find that, you know, I've done tons. So has Alexandra. And you can do a lot of personal development. And yet if people speak from their heart of hearts, they will still have it that this particular thing that happened to them is somehow limiting them in their life. And what it comes down to, Gina, is though how they're going to hold the trauma, how they're going to hold those things. Because all of us, like you said, whether it be something big, whether it be something small, even as children, you know, there's little things that happened that you can, you know, go to people who've done tons of personal development, which I have and Alexander has. You can go to them and have them point out something that to this day they think happened and it shaped them into being some way that they are limited to. And the different way of looking at this, and as Alexandra saw when she was going through the first chapter on your past, is if you can twist it. And it's a mind game, but if you can twist it that, well, what if you set it up that way? Now, this gets really challenging when really traumatic things have happened, okay? But the point being is that if you can twist it with some idea that how might that have been perfect and exactly what needed to happen to have you become who you came here to be? In other words, our experiences are designed maybe at our soul level or something before we even came here to form us into who we came here to be. And what that perspective does is it leaves you not being a victim anymore. If you can actually look back and take ownership of the blessings that came out of that and how it shaped you in the being that you have become, then it's kind of like gives you power to shape your future because you're not limited by anything from the past. And if you cause that, you can cause whatever you want to cause in the future.
Hmm. And a good proof of that or a good example of that is even the example that I brought up a few minutes ago, because one of the most traumatic experiences of my life was a combination of first living in Russia, trying to get out, not being let out. So this is kind of like being imprisoned in the country when you don't have the freedom to go. And then leaving on my own at 19. And I could say, well, this scarred me for life. Or I could say that those experiences really have made me. And I could even take the case that in some way spiritually, I designed them that way for myself because they really made me strong. They made me know how to stand on my own two feet at 19. They made me resilient. All of these things that have really contributed to me in my life.
Mm. So once someone has kind of grappled with their past and they begin that, I would say, journey of shifting their perspective, what are some of the other essentials, the essential embraces that you help people utilize?
Well, I'll just walk through the seven embraces. First, as we've described, embracing your past such that you're no longer a victim to it, but actually can hold yourself as having had a say over it, like designing yourself through these different laboratories to become who you came here to be, getting what we call the self-expression directives out of those laboratories. The second embraces your present, because many people feel very limited by their present and they feel a victim to situations. I mean, even let's look at this past year, you know, this 2020 year of COVID and all the other things going on, people could feel, as it's natural to feel, limited by it. And yet there's a particular process in the book, especially in those two chapters, about taking some situation you feel a victim to and putting it through a particular discovery and expression analysis. Meaning, look, you know, we could even look right now, Gina, at if you were to point out all the blessings and really force yourself to find the blessings, even though, of course, everybody feels like, oh, God, I never wish this would have happened in this COVID thing and has been terrible. If you were forced to look at the blessings, you could actually come to a place where you could see, wow, huh, isn't it interesting that this came about, which now has me more connected with my family. Sure, I'm not getting together with them, but now we do Zooms once a week, or I have friends that I connect with more this way, or me and my wife are now doing things together that we never did before. In other words, if you were really to look at it, you could number one, pull yourself out of victimhood and actually look to see, wow, you know, there's something here that's really enhancing my life. Does that make sense? So in other words, that's another cut at it. Then embrace number three is your gifts, because many of us get to midlife and we're not conscious of all the gifts we've developed through the school of life or the school of hard knocks. You know, a lot of people think it was their education or they went into some field because of their education or the skills they learned, but you have certain gifts now that you only got through your experiments, your laboratories, the way you've lived your life. So an inventory of embracing your gifts. Embrace number four is your values, because you're a very different person now than you were 20, 30 years ago. And a lot of times if folks don't do a current values inventory, you know, people are living by obsolete values. They, you know, maybe keep driving for things that they haven't really realized, you know, are not as important, and not focusing on those things that are. So a values inventory is embrace number four. Embrace number five is what I call your initiation, and embracing your initiation. It's kind of it's the playful way we deal with midlife crisis, because, you know, you can look at it as midlife crisis, or you could look at it as midlife opportunity. See, in the regular way that people look at aging, midlife crisis is this place where you have to come to terms with what you've made yourself to be, and then just find a way to make it from there and, you know, kind of mutter into the sunset. Whereas if it was midlife opportunity, and you really analyze that first half for what it has to tell you of who you came here to be and what you came here to do, then guess what? It's your initiation. It's your initiation into the party of the second half. And then embrace number six is your purpose. So many people are, you know, just, you know, we all really want to feel that sense of purpose. And when you can recontextualize your whole first half, and pull out those gifts and pull out those values and see the directions that your laboratory experiments have pointed you in, it gives you an opportunity to get more clear of the directions you want to point your purpose to go. But one of the key aspects of that is that I call it purposeful practice, because too many people are stuck on finding the one piece of the puzzle, their purpose. And I say that, you know what, if you can put together all those other little pieces of the puzzle that you have your hands on, don't focus on that one piece. It's amazing how the picture can come together, you know, anyhow. And so I create more of a playful way of practicing purpose. And then the seventh embrace is a presence. And what I mean by that is you know, there's the ego plays a big role, I think, in the first half. You know, I know it has for me. To the degree that we can start to let go of the egoic drives, to the degree that we can make ourselves available for something beyond us to direct us. And I'm not specifically talking religious here, but I am talking, you know, some concept of something beyond us. And so embrace number 7 is really putting yourself in the way of guidance. And I go, that whole chapter is really about what are the practices, what are the ways that we can put ourselves in the way of guidance, whether it be meditation, whether it be particular, you know, types of activities and practices, so that we can start to allow something beyond our own egoic voice directing us.
And one of the best things I want to say about the last chapter is there's really something for everyone. Because oftentimes when you read books or articles about presence, everybody, there's a certain one way it is offered or described or invited to practice. This chapter really offers so many different tools and practices and ways and things literally for everyone. And it's, it allows you to play with it rather than be the effect of it, really find playful ways to invite presence in your life.
You know, I look at these embraces that you're sharing and I see a kind of a cycle. I think that it's presented in a linear way, but it really is something that we go around. I've used this example before, in an Eastern Asian model of more of a spiral. And you're going around and around and you keep getting a new and different perspective on it. And each time you go around, as you grow, you might see something different or pick up something different. So it's really a lifetime practice. You know, you do that first step of trying to break free, and then you really do begin to recognize that this doesn't have to be decline. It really is the opportunity to incline, because look what we've done in the first 40, 50 years of life. I mean, seriously, like you said, Daryl, you feel like the ego is involved. Well, yeah, because we are building a life early on, right? We're choosing our spouse, or we're building a business, or we're building a career, or we're raising a family. We have lots of goals, right? We're like goal. That's all that we focus on. And are we hitting those goals? Are we accomplishing those things? So I think when we hit this point, and you guys can comment on this, we've been driving so hard. We've been hustling so hard for the first half of our life. There is a bit of a shift of what that hustle or that drive looks like after a certain point, because we are no longer in the same position of doing what our parents expect or what our boss expects. It begins to shift to what do you expect from your own life? And I think that's the biggest transition, is giving ourselves permission and turning and looking at ourselves instead of chasing after something, the carrot, the proverbial carrot that's been put in front of us. Because I feel like the first half of life, there's a carrot.
That's right. Exactly. There is a carrot. And at some point, most of us, if not all of us, come to a point in life where the carrot isn't that attractive anymore. It loses its luster. And then...
It was wooden carrot. That wasn't even a real carrot.
Right. So now what? And the great thing about the back 40 is the way we look at it is, aside from the seriousness of the first half of life and goal after goal after goal and running after carrots, we now can be playful. And we now can look at what is it that we really care to create in our life, not because somebody expects it from us or we expect things from us, but what is it that brings us joy, and to be playful with it rather than nose to the grindstone, because nose to the grindstone also loses its luster at some point. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, and, you know, our first half was about nose to the grindstone, you know, all the things that you said, you know, that we're needing to produce and all of that. And, you know, it's been proven through research and, you know, in so many ways that you grow more inside of an environment of play versus, you know, pressure and got to produce a result and all that kind of stuff. I want to say a couple things, though, about what you said about the ongoing cycle. See, here's what's cool is when you play with this model, and again, you know, who knows what's true? I'm not saying the model that I create for analyzing your past or analyzing your present and putting yourself, you know, at cause over them versus being at the effect of them is true. I'm just saying it's a model.
And it works.
And it works. And we've done courses with folks who, you know, have really totally transformed stuff out of their, you know, background from looking at it that way. But the cool thing is that if you see and if you play with this idea that we set up laboratories, that we're always setting up laboratories, like when you talked about who you're going to marry and that job and all that kind of stuff, if you can start to look at all of those as, hey, we ran a lot of laboratories, but then looking to see, okay, what did that laboratory tell me about me? What did it give me in terms of directives in moving forward, right? That's what the piece that a lot of people don't look at. But if you can start to analyze them that way, those laboratories, guess what? You're running labs right now. And you're going to keep running labs. But yet, if you're not at the effect of them and they're in your, you know, blind spot, you can actually proactively create laboratories. Like right now, I'm proactively creating laboratories around certain things in my life. And so it's kind of like I'm doing it consciously as opposed to when I married that first person and, you know, and based on parents saying, oh, you really should be married by now and all this kind of stuff. You know, those were just labs that I fell into and I can say, oh, but we divorced. And so therefore that was messed up and blah, blah, blah. I'm just saying there's a causal way of looking at our past that can enable us to cause our future. And like Alexander said, take on directions we want to go based on play, based on experimentation. And guess what? One of the things that we coach people on in our work is play first, fall on your face. Guess what? That's how kids are. And that's why 20-year-olds create all these new technologies because they're not afraid of failure. You get to, you know, 40, 50, 60, people are so constricted that I may look stupid or, you know, I don't want to look silly or, you know, I don't know how to do that, that life becomes limited and it starts to shrink instead of, oh, wow, I know nothing about salsa dancing. And at 58, I'm going to take it on,
really?
You know, that's been one of my ongoing experiments, right? But the point being is, if after 40, 50, or 60, you know, we can shake off the mindset that has us want to look good, that has us, you know, want to stick to the decisions we've already made about ourselves and the way women are and the way men are and the way dating is and the way careers are, if we can shake those off, you know, it gives us the room like 20-year-olds have to play and invent and create. But I think the biggest thing is shaking off that mindset that society starts to give us and that we buy into. So yeah, the back 40 is really about a whole new mindset about the second half. And like you said, what if it is ever escalating? See, the down and out model is a bell curve. You know, after 40, 50, or 60, the good's behind you. What if it is an upward trending, never ending until we get out of this life playing bigger and bigger games?
You know, it's so funny. You're talking about, you know, life shrinks when we're fearful and when we restrict ourselves. It is really the result of the way life is kind of designed in the first half, because there's a lot of conformity that happens. There's a lot of, you know, like I said, you should do this. You should do that. This is the way it's supposed to be done. Not that those things are wrong or bad, but I feel like when we reach this point, that's the actual paradigm shift. Is
exactly.
No longer doing the shoulds, but like, hey, okay, I did that. Yay, give yourself credit. Now, what about that did you like? What about it did you not like? You know, how many things have we all done at different seasons for different purposes that maybe we are like, I don't ever want to do that again. Or maybe we experience something and we're like, oh, like you said, the dancing or whatever. It's like, someday I want to get to that. When does someday come? I think midlife is the busiest time of my life ever. I think it's busier than having small children personally, because I'm caring for parents and there's all these things happening and changes. And then 2020 comes along and adds some more dimension. But even in that, what I hear you guys saying is that's where the opportunity is. That's where we understand our own resilience and flexibility. And that's what it comes down to, right? Really recognizing that we are not locked in.
Well, absolutely. And if we take the case that that is the case, and then we have an added benefit of looking at certain things in our life and seeing the blessings in them, because all of us at this point in life have certain things that have happened that we wish didn't happen, or that we think were a waste of time or regrets and things like that. But what if we look at all that, and instead of looking at it as wasted time or regrets or anything like that, we find blessings in that that provides us with additional fuel going forward.
Yeah. In other words, you know, you talk about the shoulds that we lived by in that first half. Well, here's the deal. If we still look at it like, oh, because of those shoulds, I had, you know, my life was this way. And again, all of it leads towards limited beingness, you know, because of that, then, you know, I'm limited this way. I listened to them when they said I should and should and blah, 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 blah. But again, if we take on that, guess what? I picked those situations that gave me those shoulds. I picked that culture. I picked to be grown, you know, to grow up in a particular religion, or I picked to be grow up in a particular, you know, society or, you know, culture. And I picked it so that it would design me. It would design me for who I'm really here to be and the contribution and the difference I'm here to make. I guess what I'm saying, Gina, is the shoulds still fall into the victim. But what if we can take ownership of our past, present, and future? Mm-hmm. Right? And that's what the midlife initiation or wake-up call gives us an opportunity to do. And you know as well as I do that there are a lot of people who still live bemoaning the things that have happened to them in life. He left me. You know, he went with a younger woman, or she, you know, cheated on me, or, you know, whatever. But the point being is that if you can take on those, quote, bad things and look to see what's the self-expression directives that came out of it for you, if you can look at those supposed bad things at for the, you know, the self-expression directives, then guess what? You got a big game to play from all that you've learned in those laboratories. There ain't no stopping, there ain't no being stuck, and there ain't no declining.
And I just want to add some things, and sometimes it takes courage. It does.
Well, it always, yeah. Oh,
did you say sometimes?
I was about to say, that's when I laughed. It's like, it's...
I think you should just say, it takes courage.
Yeah. It takes courage to look at those, what we consider awful things in life, and look at them and do the processes until we can see the blessings. But the payoff, what you get on the other side, is amazing.
Yeah, you get to no longer be a victim.
You get to no longer be at the effect of whatever happened, or be stopped by it or stuck in it.
Here's an idea, Gina, to consider. And again, you know, all forms of growth we support, right? And, you know, whether it's realizing that you need to have closure on certain things in your life and taking the actions to have closure, or whether sometimes people use the word being complete with something that happened, and you take actions to be complete. You do personal development seminars and, you know, all that to complete things. Or forgiveness. You know, forgiveness is a huge, huge thing. Here's the kicker, though. If, and this is a tough one to swallow, but if you designed everything from some higher level within yourself, soul level or whatever. But if you designed everything that's occurred to you yourself exactly as it happened for your own growth and development, you have no one to forgive, yourself or others. There's no completion or closure needed because guess who was behind it all? You were. Now, again, that's tough to necessarily take on, but it frees us up. It frees us up when we can take on that, man, my life design really came about to point me here, you know, for what I'm here to do and who I'm here to be. And it's about becoming a greater and greater expression of yourself while you're in this lifetime.
Yeah. Yeah. And when we're looking at those things, again, that question is, what did I gain? No matter how horrible it was, right? Because it's in the gains. I can think of several situations in my life that have allowed me to become the coach that I am. The way that I can help women is because of the struggle and the suffering.
Exactly.
Because absolutely. I can understand and I've developed that muscle, right?
Yes.
And so we can kind of look at it like the life is a gymnasium, right? We've gone through different kinds of exercises. We've done weightlifting, you know, there's hard things that we've lifted. There's been the times when we've been just cruising, like swimming in a pool. There's all these different exercises that we've been through and the value that we bring to this season of our life because of those things, including and probably more likely the failures are the better. Those are the better things in our life because, man, when you learn, then you can grow.
Exactly. And you don't learn when everything's just going smooth. You learn when you fall on your face. Mm-hmm. And again, it's that different perspective of taking on that, oh, good, I want to get on the playing field. I want to fall on my face as fast as I can versus at midlife where we want to play safe and, you know, look good and but shrink.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And that is a misunderstanding in my mind of our own potential. Like we're misunderstanding, man, if you've got 30 more years to live, this is the question I like to ask. Let's say you're 50. Okay. And let's say you're going to live 30 more years. Really? This is how you want to live the next 30 years? Like that's depressing to me. Like,
exactly.
It's like, there's a certain, almost like frame it like 30 more years. Look what you did in the last 30. Why can't you accelerate the next 30? Because you know more, you've done more, you've been more places. So there's going to be some ability to shortcut, to maximize, to really hone in on something and get excited. I mean, the perspective we have from our life experience can be so amazing.
It really, really can. And again, that's what this, you know, this different philosophy or mindset is about, is looking at it differently than what society tells us. Because here's the thing, society tells us that as you go through that front 40 and you get into your 40s, 50s, 60s, you're supposed to amass certain amounts of, quote, wisdom. Now, here's the problem with quote wisdom is that inside of that quote wisdom is, okay, well, given everything I've been through, this is the way women are. And, you know, I know that, and this is the way men are. And I know that. And so that quote wisdom can become your prison. And that quote wisdom, again, has you play safe, has you sit in your chair thinking you know the way things are and you know the way you are and you know what you're capable of. And that is why you shrink. Because that wisdom that you've amassed in that way. But see, you know, you said something a minute ago. You at 25 or 30, you didn't think, I'm here in this lifetime to become a midlife coach for women to empower them to play their biggest game ahead. You didn't plan that, but guess what? Life and life's laboratories gave you that. And if we can keep looking at the laboratories and seeing what's the greater expression, even right now, what's the greater expression that's coming out of what's happening right now? you know.
And another thing about that wisdom, in addition to having wisdom about how the world around us is, we have a very fixed and strong idea about how we are, how I am. I am introverted. I like this. I don't like that. I do this. I'm not the person who ever does that. And if we keep going for the next 30 years of our life with that, what else is new?
Right?
Yeah, nothing's new, right? It'll all be old.
I'm always going to be a certain way, but if I have a chance to look at all the options of how I want to be and pick and choose, then kind of the world is my oyster for the next 30 years.
It's so funny when you said, if we don't change anything, everything becomes old. You just defined what makes people old.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the definition, really. It's becoming inflexible. It's
set in
no
their
longer
ways.
Being open, set in your ways, no longer being open. Because we do know a lot, and there's the that's the double-edged sword, isn't it? We know a lot.
Too much.
And then we don't have room left in our minds for knowing more because we know so much. It's like we know nothing and we know everything, but because we think we know everything, we can't learn anymore. It's like you have to crack that egg and recognize that people change, situations change, life changes, and there's always a greater opportunity for growth.
Yeah, you become like what Alexandra said when you said that is, yeah, we know too much. And if your cup is full and you know too much about who you are and what you're capable of and all of that, then nothing else is possible, you know? And so what we're creating here is a mindset that, again, it's not for the faint of heart, but for those who are, you know, willing to play with a new way of looking at it, you know, what if anything is possible for you as you let go of your self-concepts that have become walled in with your quote wisdom about yourself and others. What if what if we could approach life like a 20-year-old who hadn't even finished college yet? And it's like, they don't know what failure is and they're willing to play and they want to look into things that interest them and stuff. You got interests now and you got things that you're into now that you didn't have back then. It's like, what if we had the room? You know, we're really inspired by stories of people who didn't even, you know, start to show what they came here for until they get into their 60s, 70s, and 80s. And, you know, when we do our programs, we list them out, you know. There's one, and we play the game and we describe the person and we say, who is this? You know, one of them was a 70-year-old woman who couldn't work in the fields anymore because her hands of arthritis. And she just took up for the first time painting. And within the next 20 years, she created 2,500 paintings. It was Grandma Moses. Mm-hmm. You know, you wouldn't have known Grandma Moses from being in the fields. And there's the one about, you know, Colonel Sanders. And there's, you know, there's just all those stories. And, you know, a lot of times people are like, oh, isn't that great? Yeah. But to really take on that, we all have that potential. That what if our biggest game is yet to come? Really? Mm-hmm.
Letting go of our self-concepts is the key to that.
Yeah.
We have to allow ourselves to be more than we currently are.
Yes.
We have to really look in the mirror and say, what am I capable of? Because when you remove that hustle of, you know, raising kids or building a business or whatever, not that those things, you know, your kids grow up, but, you know, grandkids come along or you're still building a business, but you can make micro shifts. And I think it could be scary for people thinking they have to like drop everything and do something completely different. But we're looking for those micro shifts, the things that kind of trigger your joy or get you excited. And I'm going to ask you this. Do you feel like people, when we reach this age in the middle, we feel like we have to be experts because we're this age and we've forgotten how to be new at something?
Absolutely. And that's what that's what all of us have been talking about here. What you mentioned earlier is we're so full up. we're not coming from beginner's mind. You know, society has told us. I mean, look at the movies where there's the elderly gentleman or the elderly woman, and, you know, they're wise and, you know, things like that. And it's like, so we have this idea that we're supposed to already be set, you know. And one of the big things, and this may challenge some listeners, but this whole idea of retirement, this idea that we're supposed to be working towards doing nothing.
Or which will kill you, just so you know.
Exactly. We're supposed to be working our way towards when we don't have anything we have to do. Now, it sounds sexy, but I've been a career coach, you know, around people in careers and their businesses for 30 years. I see people who get to that point, and when there's not something to play for, not something purposeful, the body, the mind, things stop working. You know, what if there's always a bigger game to play? What if, you know, retirement, if you look at the root of it, the Latin root means to draw back. Retire means to draw back. What if rather than draw back, we play forward? Play forward. You know, a minute ago, you said we should look in the mirror and say, well, what are we capable of? Here's an even easier way to start getting in those little micro shifts. Don't ask what I'm capable of. Ask, where do I want to play? Just where do I want to play? I may not even think I'm capable of it, but if I allow myself to start playing in a certain area, and I'm not stuck on how I look, and I'm not afraid to fall on my face and get up and shake it off and see what I learned and play again, guess what? Anything is possible if we give ourselves that room.
Mm, absolutely. It's such an incredible journey, this life. And I love that we're on the same page in saying life is not over because you reach a certain point on an age scale. Our potential actually grows because we've done and learned so many things. And one of the things, as we're wrapping it up here, is I think we need to give ourselves credit for what we have accomplished. I don't know that in the hustle of the first half of life, we've slowed down enough to really recognize what kind of dossier we've been building in total, in the ways that we've grown and the things that we've become. And, you know, like, have you ever listed all the things that you've done in life and people are like, holy cow, what haven't you done? You know, you really realize that learning doesn't end unless we choose to. Learning is a continual thing that we are able to do. And I love the idea of play. For me, it's removing the expectations. I don't need to be the expert in this area. I don't need to be the best in this area. I just want to do it and see where it goes. It's a real sense of, you know, almost looking at life with wonder. So as I think about all of the things that we've talked about today and what a great process you've created in this book of yours, if we had to kind of boil down three things that people could kind of anchor into to really, you know, begin this journey if they have not, or to continue this journey of accelerating into their mid to late years, their second half, what would you like them to hear from you guys, from your heart to theirs?
One thing I think is very important overall is to allow yourself to, like you said, look at your life and life before you and life going forward with wonder. And when you hear yourself, oh, I am just that way, challenge yourself. Challenge yourself to go and do and be what brings you joy, even if it's contrary to how you have come to know yourself to be. Because we're malleable, we have the freedom and the flexibility. It just takes a little bit of willingness and a little bit of courage to take that step and to see yourself as something beyond the fixed way that you know yourself.
Mm-hmm. And I would say, I just want to go back to something you said a minute ago about, you know, we need to give ourselves some credit. I once heard someone say, Gina, if you really get who you are, you'll be moved to tears. Mm. If you really, really get who you are. And so in the Back 40, the book and this really movement that we're intending to create, we want to support people to really get who they are, who they've designed themselves through all of their past experiments in laboratories, through all the school of life that they've been through and the school of hard knocks, who they've designed themselves to be, to actually now fulfill on who they came here to be. And it's radical that word is used a lot in our this environment we're creating, because based on what society says, you are going to be a product of your past and you're going to be limited by your past and the things that happened to you. And it's radical to consider that you're not limited at all and all things are possible. And guess what? Now that you're in midlife, it's time to really play. It's time to go for the big game that you actually came here for. This is where it starts, not where it ends.
Preach that all the way to the end, my friend. We're having midlife church right now. That's amazing. Well, those two points alone, allowing yourself to see yourself with wonder, and then really acknowledging who you are and giving yourself permission to fulfill.
Yeah.
Because it's an interesting shift. There's no one in front of you, unless you put them there, who gets to define who you are anymore.
Yeah.
Already done that. We've been there, done that.
Yeah.
So where can people find you?
Well, the book, The Back 40, Seven Essential Embraces to Launch Rife's Radical Second Half, is actually for two more days available for pre-order. And we've really put together really giving. We're really looking to give. And, we'd love for your listeners to look at the link that you're going to be providing and to see where this book, they can get a exclusive limited edition autograph copy with lots of bonuses. We're giving away coaching sessions. We're giving away programs. We're giving away half-day courses, to support getting this word out in this pre-order campaign. So that's really where right now we would love people to join with us on this kind of mission of play, passion, and purpose.
We're going to call it Mission Possible.
Ooh, I love that.
Yeah, it's not impossible. It's Mission Possible. Capital P, possible.
Yep.
All right, awesome.
And this tape will not self-destruct in 30 seconds.
That's right. Your old paradigms will.
There you go. We can play with this.
Yes. You need a video now. You just So, Daryl and Alexandra, thank you so much for joining me today and for sharing with such passion and excitement, just leading the charge for the next generation of those of us who are hitting midlife and choosing to shift the paradigm and really become more powerful in who we are. So thank you so much.
Gina, thank you. And thank you for responding so quickly to our message. Thank you for being someone who is really a missionary for bringing messages of hope and possibility and creativity to, folks who could buy in otherwise. Thanks for being that surge against generally accepted societal wisdom that says it's down and out after that. We really appreciate you.
And thank you for creating a space for this and for this wonderful conversation. Really joyful to spend time with you.
Oh, thank you so much. It is absolutely probably one of the best things I've ever experienced is having this podcast and meeting people like yourself. And it's really something to connect heart to heart with people that you don't know. Like, it's just the coolest thing. I love it. So thank you. So today, my friends, I've been speaking with Daryl Gurney and Alexandra Levin of The Back 40. Daryl is the author of The Back 40, Seven Essential Embraces to Launch Life's Radical Second Half. Now, he mentioned that there's a link to get all of these cool things with the pre-order. You have two more days to do it. If you head to bit.ly/newback40book, that's B as in boy, IT .ly/newback40book. Or you can also head over to www.feminineroadmap.com/episode203. If you go down to the bottom of the show notes, I will have a resource section and there will be a hyperlink. All you'll have to do is click it and it'll take you there and you can get involved in what Daryl so properly called this, a movement. My friends, this life that we live is meant to be spent. It's meant to be lived and worn out and leave no part of it unused. So you are coming into the greatest season of your life if you allow it to be. Think of all the things you've been, all the things you've done, and let's accelerate. Let's encourage each other, link arms, and set the bar higher. Let's change the paradigm, set the bar higher, and hit those high notes so that other people can catch the vision and really recognize there's so much more living to do, my friends. Don't sit down. Get up. Play, learn, grow, and become an even greater version of yourself. So thank you so much for joining us for this conversation today. We ask that you would share this message with your friends. Don't keep this to yourself. Grab a cup of something wonderful, get together with some friends, and begin to design a future that even you would be amazed to live. Thank you so much, my friends. Have a great day. Take care. Bye-bye.